This Sunday. Side by side at the microphone, from the green light to the speed trap, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino calls them as they see them, and you better believe them. Here! Relevant news, biased opinions, and outright bullshit regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! Gasp. Mechanical trickery never before revealed over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Chris and Ray cuss each other down the track and barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil! All that and much more this Sunday at high noon on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and live feed, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free. Every Sunday at noon on WHPC. Take the Long Island Expressway to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the sign saying no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass. Sunday!
Sex and drugs and rock and roll is all my brain and body need. Sex and drugs and rock and roll. It's very good indeed.
And something else that's very good is Motormouth Radio, the show you've tuned into on 90.3 WHPC with your hosts, Ray Guarino and Chris Switzer, who's bopping in the basement today to the tunes of Ian Dury and the Blockheads, some of our favorites. How are you, Chris?
Doing well, Ray. I am just bopping away, having a good time right here in the basement, like Rob Leonard says.
Yeah.
Basement Productions Incorporated here at Motormouth Radio. You know that.
That's a good name for the new company. Yeah.
We're all in the basement.
Exactly. At one time or another, you're absolutely right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's no place, nowhere but up.
Right. Well, right. When you're in the basement, there is no way up, nowhere else to go but up, right? Unless you're going to become a mole rat and tunnel your way out. Yeah. So we're going to, we'll start off our frosty day with telling you can give us a call and get into fun on, speaking with us at 516-572-7440. Follow us on social media, Motormouth Radio on the web, on Twitter and on Facebook, and on Instagram, we're Real_MotormouthRadio.
Yes, and, Joe's favorite.
Yes.
So yeah, this was definitely a frosty week, I gotta admit.
Hey, I'll tell you what, today is the, what is today? I don't even know what the hell, the 6th, but the 4th. We had a milestone that, you know, a past milestone on the February 4th. 2016 was the last Thursday show we had done.
Oh, wow.
Because of work constraints. Things had changed.
Yes.
in your world. So, and that was after 8 years and 9 months of doing a Thursday show. We finally,
I missed the Thursday show. It always was a lot of fun. You know, we always thought that the same people were listening to our Sunday soiree were listening to the Thursday show, but it really wasn't the case. There was like a whole bumper crop of people, a new bumper crop of listeners that we had on Thursdays that didn't even know we were on Sundays.
We found pretty much a whole new audience. That's right. Right. And that was cool because then it gave us that the Thursday group and then there was the Sunday group. And then sometimes it started to meld and cross over a little bit. It was pretty fun. But
sometimes they would just taunt each other.
Yeah. Well, listen, when life throws you dirty oil, you just figure out how to deal with it and clean it up and make it work. So we did.
Right, and not find a way to drink it.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, speaking of that, I had an issue this week. It was actually last weekend. I had the old FJ out. The teeth aren't working right today. And I had been, with the snow that we had, I had been in and out of four-wheel drive quite often.
Right.
And I was in Queens and then driving home on the parkway. So I had, I guess I was already on the road for about a good 10 minutes of highway cruising in two-wheel drive. And bing, the check engine light pops up. I'm like, huh? And then in typical Toyota fashion, then like
it goes and repairs itself.
No, I wish. No, like four other lights lit up right under it. I was like, whoa, what the hell's going on? But the truck is driving fine. I'm in cruise control. It's running like a champ. There's no discernible problems. Not even a hiccup, you know? So then,
which other the three lights went on? Do you remember them offhand?
Yeah, it's interesting that was one of my tip-offs, or one of the things that made me very curious. Check engine light, as you know, is always related to an engine performance or emissions type of a code. It can be air, oxygen sensor, catalytic converter, things like that. And it was. The two codes were a PO016 and a PO100, I think it was. One of them was for mass airflow sensor, and the other was like a crank and cam position sensor. And I'm like, wait a minute. The engine, you know, I checked it the next day, and it ran absolutely flawless. It started right up the next day. It drove fine. No funny business, no nothing. And I said, these codes, it's almost like fake codes. This isn't right. There's something, it's not exhibiting what these codes are telling me. But the lights were all related to traction control, vehicle stability, like the four-wheel drive system, which I had been using quite often last weekend.
Ooh, okay.
So, you know, I ran it by Joe, and he dug into some data like I did. We were doing our independent research and kind of came up. You know, the first thing he told me is like, well, you know Toyota, when there's a fault, they throw out. They throw the alarm code at the wall and let everything. I learned this with my daughter's RAV4. Everything lights up on the dash, and he says they do that to get the driver's attention and make them bring the thing in for service. I'm like, aha.
Okay.
So I was going to get in and do some further diagnostics on those codes. But like I said, the engine codes didn't make sense because there wasn't even a hiccup in the way it ran. So, and if you had cam and crank position sensor codes, you know, and there was a real problem, you may not even be able
to. The car wouldn't run.
You might not even
just drop.
Right. You might not even be able to start it. So
there's your code. It would just stall and die.
Yeah. So I was leery, but it just so happened that next day I had a lot of stuff to do. We had to use the car. I was out all day doing things. And
you're driving around with the lights on and everything, right?
Yes.
You were just like driving it home on fire.
Well, yeah, the rule is you don't people's thought is erase the codes, clear the codes, let's get back to normal. Right. We all want to do that, but no, from diagnostically, you don't want to do that because you may want to dig deeper and you need those codes up there and, you know.
Right.
So I drove around all day and in the back of my mind I had a thought, and somewhere by the afternoon my thought came true. My wife and I left the store, and I, you know, started it up, and boom, no lights on. I'm like, uh-huh. And I explained to her, of course, she was very interested in hearing all about this, how with codes like that, sometimes after a certain amount of key cycles or a drive cycle, the code, if it doesn't repeat, it clears. And that's exactly what happened. It all cleared out. And what cleared in was Mr. Longshot. Tyler is our, and Lewis Lee, I see his shoulder. There we go. Hello,
there
fellas.
Is.
How you doing?
Hey.
What is up, gentlemen?
Very good, very good.
It is good to see you both.
Yes, sir. We're still alive.
Yeah, that was going to be my first question.
Yeah, we didn't get crushed by a bus roof or any other parts of a bus.
It is.
Hey, and we still got Oreos left.
Oh, look at that. Well, yeah, because you guys didn't get to eat them during the build. Lewis, you're spending.
You ate all the donuts, though.
Yeah, you're spending more time at Tyler's shop than you are at your own house lately.
Yeah. He's trying to kick me out, but I ain't going nowhere.
All right. Yeah, good. So the purpose of this visit is we want to know, we're looking for a recap now as to where the Busting Out Schoolie project is, where you guys are at. Well, where you left off and where you're at, and because a lot's happened in this past week, and it's almost hard to keep track of it. So, please,
right, yeah. Right.
From what I saw, it looked like you guys cornered the market on sheet steel.
Yeah, man, we used a lot.
What did you do? Did you like take down a billboard? Is there like a road?
It's just don't like ask.
Chop trunk of a billboard sign.
Well, we put that side on the inside so the companies don't know what happened.
Right. The inside of the bus may or may not say Martin Luther King Boulevard.
Ah, there you go. Nice.
Yeah,
I love
the response from everybody that was involved in the project was huge. The enthusiasm was over the top. I mean, we had people coming in a day early. They were showing up Thursday night while I was still trying to clean and organize and everything. And they're like, "Well, you got an extra broom? Do you, what can we do to help?" You know. So, I mean, the hands-on attitude was awesome. And we had a whole bunch of sponsors that jumped on board. And because the whole thing was like all last minute, we thought it was just going to be a buddy project. And within 4 weeks, really, it exploded into this whole sponsored event, you know, with live streams and all kinds of different stuff. So it was really incredible.
Yeah,
you were envious.
Yeah, and that was the thing, knowing ahead of time that everybody would be doing their own stuff with videoing and live. On this side, it was almost a little hard to keep track of what was going on. Like, I had to see, wait a minute, did this happen before this or after that? Or because you're watching different guys' feeds, and it was but it was all entertaining anyway. And, of course, on Thursday nights, playing in traffic, I think I got the answer I was looking for when I asked about after the fact. How did I word it? I wanted to know, like, you know, who was the trouble? Were there any troublemakers in the bunch? And everybody pointed at one guy and said, yeah. I'm not going to out him. I'll let you do it.
And I will say that was mostly just for fun, because he's always the brunt of a bunch of jokes, you know. But
right.
Joey really stepped up too and pulled his own weight for sure. And we had I really think we had almost no problems.
Yeah, we clicked. Everybody, it seemed like everybody knew each other from a long time, and we didn't know anybody in person. Everybody was online or on the phone. And when we met, it was like we all knew each other, and everybody went to work like we do this for a living. You know what I mean? It just, everything clicked. You know, it was just a nice weekend, really.
You know, this was all encompassed in one weekend, one Saturday and Sunday. Wow. That is amazing.
Yeah, almost everything you saw online with like any live streams or anything like that from the various channels involved, that was 98% all on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So we've successfully taken the roof off an international school bus, the regulation size, and brought it up 18 inches.
Yeah.
And completely covered it in sheet steel. You took the windows, pretty much took the windows out of this. They're no longer, those slide up school windows are gone, right? They're not even there.
Yep, we took all the windows out, and we made window frames for the new RV windows that are going in. And we got it lifted up 18 inches. It's incredible how much more room it seems like inside the bus.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like a whole nother.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's the same square footage, obviously, because we didn't stretch it, but just the fact that the there's so much more headroom now, it made the space seem twice as large.
The cubic footage went up,
yes. Right?
Because you went up, right? And that's, of course, that helps Lewis out a lot because he's tall. So
right. Yeah, I was amazed when I could stand up straight. I'm like, I can stand up straight and put my hand all the way up.
Wow,
touch the ceiling. I can still touch the ceiling, but, you know, the short guys can't.
Right, right.
And the funny thing, Lewis, is that's the first time I saw you without wearing your hat.
Me too.
And I was like, who's that?
Yeah, me too. I'm like, hey, wait a minute.
A lot of people watch my videos. Like, I've never seen you without a hat on. I was like, hey, it's hot.
Right.
Tyler's furnace in here don't play. So, man, you're lucky you didn't see naked people running around.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Yeah, there's the one guy, Michael Knight. He showed up. He was he's like, oh, it's a shop, you know. There's gonna be people in and out. It's gonna be cold. So he showed up all bundled up, and he was here maybe 5 minutes. He had beads of sweat rolling down his face. He's like, man, I gotta take these layers off.
Yeah, because
I mean, it was about 70 degrees in the shop the whole
wow.
weekend.
Wow,
that's very comfortable.
It certainly wasn't 70 degrees on the outside.
No, no,
yeah,
no, it was in the teens.
But you know what? We did get lucky. Like the week before, we had that big snowstorm, and we had 18, 19 inches.
Right.
So when they came last week, it kind of settled down, and, you know, it was still cold, but it was, like, kind of perfect for traveling.
Right.
And then this week, it got bad again. So right. It worked out good. I mean.
Yeah, we had a break in the weather for everybody coming and going. It was pretty nice.
Now, speaking about traveling, you had, I mean, Heidi and Arco came, they drove 18 hours to get there.
Yeah, so. They drove from Minnesota.
Yeah.
Yep.
We had the Iron Horse guys, William and Jason, come from Idaho. They mm-hmm. flew in. And then they drove from Cleveland. They rented a car and drove from Cleveland. And we had Paul from D.C., Maryland.
Right.
We had Bill from Michigan, drove in.
Yeah, he's up by Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, everybody came, and it was like people lived around the corner. Yeah. They just came in, went to work, packed the tools up, and left.
Right.
I didn't even really open my toolbox. They brought their own tools. I mean, it's just...
Yep.
They came for business, really.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. Talk about a support staff. Talk about I love the passion. I love the shared passion. It's like you raise the flag, you send up the bat signal, and they all come in to get the job done. That is just spectacular. I love it.
And what's amazing is I don't know why. You know what I mean? I'm just a guy that plays around in traffic. You know what I mean?
Well, there was the threat, the treat of Oreos, so that's a big incentive.
Yeah, I think that was it. Yeah.
Yeah,
we told them we were going to have Oreos, and they came.
Yeah. Yep. And then they didn't get them.
Okay. And then they didn't even get them.
And Chris?
Yeah, we pulled them.
There was a little bit of a tragedy. There was actually a kidnapping that took place that's now going to – it'll play out over the next probably couple of years, if I know this group.
Yeah, Elmo was here floating around. You know, he stopped and visited.
Right.
And somebody kidnapped him, and they sent pictures all the way back to Minnesota. I don't know who
did it, though, right?
Yeah.
So you had Elmo in the shop with you.
The
little red Muppet was in the shop with you, and he disappeared. And now you're getting photographs. Like, what is it now? The roving gnome, right?
Yeah, it was like more like ransom demand photos, but there was no ransom. So, like, the one photo, he was tied to a chair. Another, he was thrown in the snow and, you know, poured beer on him and stuff. And
he got it bad.
Yeah.
You didn't get an envelope with a tuft of red fur.
Right? Not yet. No proof of life yet.
Yeah.
Well, he doesn't have ears, so maybe a tip of a finger or something. I don't know.
Right.
Yeah, that's funny. So where are we now? Where do we stand now? Because we kind of figured that, we knew obviously the bus wouldn't be finished for in a weekend, but the major work got done. So
we got it to the point where I'm going to take it out today, take it back home. We got all the panels all the way around. We got the door cut in, but I'm going to put cardboard over just to get home.
Hmm.
Then I'll put the door in later. But pretty much we got it ready to travel. You know, I got the lights hooked back up.
Okay.
You know, everything's ready.
Lewis, what did you use for structure? I mean, I'm just, as I'm watching the video, I mean, I watched a couple of them. What did you use as to keep the thing from the wind not tearing it off?
Well, a lot of the schooling community, they started making these brackets with all thread that goes through the middle. So you weld four brackets on the bus total. And in between the brackets, that's where you cut the bus. So as you jack it up, you roll these screws up, and it holds the bus perfectly. And when I tell you that we didn't have to move it an inch any way, it went straight up and stayed straight.
Because I saw those brackets, but I didn't think they didn't look strong enough to do the job.
Yeah, well, that's what everybody, a lot of guys were saying, oh, this ain't going to work. I'm like, listen, there's hundreds of people doing this, and they figured it out.
It's easy to overestimate how much it weighs, too, because, I mean, probably that whole section that we raised, I wouldn't think is any more than 500 or 600 pounds.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but I'm also thinking that, yes, it's 500 or 600 pounds. That's not secured by every window, right? Because the windows – The window has a window frame, and that I'm assuming would be structural. And, of course, the back that wraps around and obviously the front – I think we'll share in holding up that load, but now you're like walking all that off and
once it's up in place, then you go back in with some like 1x1.5 inch or 1x2 inch eighth wall steel tubes, mm-hmm. and you weld those inside where the hat channel was that you had cut out. So the hat channel, it kind of looks like, if you look at the cross section of it, it looks like kind of like the omega or the ohm symbol.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's similar to that. So it's a very strong piece of 14-gauge steel. And when you cut that out, you replace it with something that's a little bit beefier in the 18-inch section that you raised. You can buy the hat channel preformed, but it's outrageously expensive.
Mm. And not as strong.
And not as strong.
Because it'd be sheet, so
With we that had 9 inches of overlap in the hat channel.
Yeah, so we had 9 inches of overlap for leverage between the hat channel and the piece we put in. So it was 9 inches welded at the bottom, 18 inches of the piece of steel, and then 9 inches at the top inside the hat channel, also welded. So it's that section of the bus is now the strongest section.
Well, I got to tell the people of good people of Long Island, if you want to ask a question about this or learn a little more about firsthand how to do this, give us a call, 516-572-7440. You can speak to these guys live and get the info. I don't know if anybody – I haven't seen around here. I've seen a lot of guys with buses and you know, traveling around with them, but I haven't seen any raised ones that I can recall. So that, I don't know.
There's a small subset of the community that does the roof raises. A lot of people just put up with the reduced head height and do a bus conversion because it's way, way cheaper and easier.
Sure.
This is a huge project, and especially for like one like a guy doing it himself in his driveway, this is probably a 6 month of fair weather working every day 4 to 5 hours ordeal to get done.
Right.
Yeah. Yep.
Right. And I'm just thinking, how did you hold, you didn't even hold the roof up. You would install those brackets and then adjust them accordingly and raise it. So there was no, you didn't have that roof hanging at any moment. It was always pretty much attached to the vehicle.
Yes.
You just kept jacking it up with the threaded rods. That's just amazing. Because I'm thinking to myself, Ty, you literally took the thought out of my head, because I'm thinking, okay, you have to get that thing off the bus and then suspended some way. No. So you get it that, but yeah, that the way you did it was much more efficient.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are doing it that way. And people don't realize it's really easy to lift up. If you have the jacks and those brackets.
Yep. Yeah. And because you're using the weight to your advantage, so it's holding itself down, you know, with the weight of the roof.
Right.
And instead of, you know, you trying to lift it and then let it dangle and swing and whatever else and then try to set it back down. That's like a whole bunch of people commented on one of my live streams. They're like, well, why don't – it's in between the two-post lift. Why don't you just use the two-post to lift it? I said, well, because then it's detached from the bus and you got to worry about repositioning it and all that. And then if you're lifting it with a lift, it may not lift level and all that stuff. So by using the four-screw method – you it lifted itself essentially.
That was going to be my question. How many points did you have? And I was thinking, even if you use the lift, you'd want the bus midway under the lift, right. And you couldn't do that in your shop because you didn't have the front room. So yeah, that makes sense. You know, that's that piece of video right there to show that segment is, I think, one of the key components to having people understand what this project is all about. You know, I mean, the rest is like, you know, the rest is like looking at a bare skeleton of a house and, you know, all the different crews come in.
Even when we were doing it, people still that were here still couldn't put their head around it.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, we got to put brace. I'm like, listen, no, we're good. Just keep going.
Right.
You know, we kept going up and once it was done, they were like, wow, I can't believe it didn't move. Like that, I'm telling you, it didn't move a quarter of an inch.
Well, that's when you have to believe in the guys that seem to know what they're talking about. You have to see, okay, do they really know what they're talking about? Let's see. You know, if they do, they get raisin pie. If not, we'll laugh at them.
Yeah. One of the important things to do is to level the bus and shore it up underneath with some cribbing or jack stands so that it can't rock and twist while you're moving around inside it. Because then that could cause the roof to shift. But I mean, we had to use pry bars to move it a 16th of an inch back so that the plasma cut sections would slide past each other.
Mm.
That's how it wanted to go exactly straight up.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's great.
That is just remarkable.
Textbook.
Exactly. And and also thinking about securing it because it's sprung. So you have to secure it with jack stands to keep it rigid while you're doing this, mm-hmm. because I'm thinking, yeah, once it starts bouncing around,
right?
Yeah, you have instant
Well, you think
front.
About it, when you build like the stuff that Chassis John does. When you build race cars, you build chassis. You always jig it. There's a frame table or a jig to keep everything right. straight and level, and you build off of that. Otherwise, you're building off, you know, a moving platform, which is not going to work.
You know? Right.
So, what's the plan for that extra other than headroom? What would be the plan for that extra room that you're building? Is that going to be like storage? Is that going to be like a loft area for an added bedroom? Pool? Maybe you're going to get a pool table in there? What?
Well, it'll have cabinet space, and we'll also have room on the floor. Like, we'll have storage under the bed. So that gives you more storage there. And in the shower, like when you're in the shower, you have a nice high ceiling.
Right.
You know,
right, right.
It creates a lot of storage space, and it makes it look bigger. You know, when you're sitting inside.
Yeah, I think the big thing is just as you know, this is going to be used like a motorhome. You know, so now when you're traveling, all the times you're in it, you don't have Lewis doesn't have to duck down and get it. You know, shoulder cramps. It's going to be.
Yeah, I keep ducking when I'm in there. I'm thinking I got to duck. And I'm like, wait a minute, I can stand up now.
You know, after you get used to your own bus, the first time you get in another one, you better wear like a helmet because your head's going to be bruised. Oh, man, because you're not going to duck.
Yeah. It's the truth. It's true. In this basement, my basement here has got pretty good ceiling height. But the basement at my other place is down really low, and I always forget. And I'll go down to that other place and it's like, just get cracked every time. I'm like, oh, I'm in the wrong basement again.
Everybody
wants to be taller until they hit the head on stuff.
You know, I have a cast iron waste pipe in part of my basement, and I've been in my house, 37 years? I don't know, something like that. And I still hit my head on it when I got, you know, sometimes I'll duck going under it to turn the light on and then turn around, back. Like, oh, I said I wasn't going to do it again.
My wife knows when I hit my head on the waste pipe, she hears that noise, that bung, throughout the house.
Mail's in.
Did it again.
I have a girl that comes in, helps me with footage and stuff sometimes. She was here Saturday, and she went live on my Instagram for me. Her name's Brittany. But she was following me through the shop a couple weeks ago, and she saw me duck under a car that was on a lift, and she ducked. But she's like 5'1".
Yeah, right, right.
So she can walk clean under everything,
well,
you know?
Yeah, I'll tell you.
She got out the other side of the car, she goes, I don't know why I ducked.
Yeah. No, when you're in a different environment, you know, working at the shop, you know, you get used to the lift and your area. And we had to go, it's about 2 years ago, we had to go to a shop down the road and check out one of our cars that they had to do some work on, some exhaust work on. And they had a ramp lift to drive on. And, you know, you go underneath and you know generally how to be careful under a lift. It's set at the height. Actually, the guy who was working on the car was shorter than all of us, so it was a little lower. I even had to duck. And coming out from under that lift, I kind of swung my head out, forgetting it was a ramp lift, and whack, right into the lift. And I saw everybody's face go, are you okay? And I said, I don't know. You tell me. You know. And then I felt the blood coming down my face, and yeah, I cracked open my head pretty good. Because I wasn't used to that lift with that piece, you know, the ramp. So.
Right.
But what we are used to is something that happens here at the bottom of the hour every Sunday is the honor group of the hour. And Chris provides that for us and now is going to document it and put it on the website. So
this is true, Ray. It is the staple of this fine, upstanding, mediocre automotive program. The Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour, ladies and gentlemen. And today, car owners that still work with faulty jacks. That's right.
Oh, good.
I had a premonition that this was going to happen.
Uh-huh.
Well, anyway, are you still working with that bent jack that goes up sideways and usually drops the car with a thud? Are you still working with that jack with the slow hydraulic leak that lowers the car ever so slowly? So where part of the repair means pumping up the jack periodically? Forget about leaving that car with that jack overnight because you know you're going to find it on the floor. Are you still working with that jack that sticks in the upright position when you have to wait patiently for the hydraulics to release? Ray.
Yes. Yeah, I know. I know. We do that. Yeah, that happened too.
Well, if you're still putting you just keep getting shorter. Widowmakers.
Yeah.
To make sure your life insurance is paid off and you are part of the Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour. There you go.
I worked on a lift like that on another shop where as you were working, you realized you were crouching and then the shop owner said, yeah, it was a hydraulic lift. Oh, yeah, we have a leak in the cylinder, so it'll drop on you. I'm like, well, how fast does it drop? He goes, well, not too fast. It's kind of slow. I'm like, yeah, until the day it's not. So
until the day it ramps up.
We learned to put a jack stand under there whenever we used it. And then when you're done doing that, I tell you what, you should tune in Thursday nights at 10. We're doing Playing in Traffic. We're actually just about entering the after show hours at that point. But if you tune in this fine station, you can hear FM Punk, which is a radio show dedicated to all different kinds of punk music, including metalcore, hardcore, thrashcore, as well as folk punk and pop punk, hosted by Raleigh Hogan. I think Arco should check that out because I think that's kind of his genre. Huh?
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah.
All right. So that talking about hitting our blocks on the heads, we're going to do a little blockheads here from Ian Dury. Fellas, stick with us for a minute. We got to pay a few bills, do a few promos, and we'll be back with more Motormouth Radio with Ray Guarino, Chris Switzer, Lewis Lee, and Mr. Longshot Tyler. And keep it where you got it. And let's push this button right here and hear Blockheads on 90.3 WHPC. Show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Limerick and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose which shop will fix your car. CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. All repairs include the CarStar Lifetime Nationwide Warranty, ensuring that the experts at Celebrity Chase Collision are always on your side.
Y si hablamos español.
More information is available by calling 516-593-0920 or visiting online at celebritychasecollision.com.
You're listening to the Motormouth.
Hello, gentlemen.
Next
you guys
one.
Call yourself hot rods. Come on, man.
I was waiting for you to learn how to trim my bonsai plant.
Motormouth.
Love the show and keep them coming.
You have to excuse me. I was just outside messing around with the car.
I'm reluctant to say I'm anything like you guys.
Motormouth.
But I am exactly like you guys.
I try and keep every old thing going. Good show as usual.
Motormouth.
You guys are trouble.
I know you guys have your finger on the pulse of stuff.
I'll train staff. Of two will help.
Come on and ask and answer some car questions. I'm a fount of useless knowledge.
Quite frankly, there are better things to do with your time.
Instructions are just another man's opinion, Ray.
Yeah, I talk to you guys when I need you. I appreciate you. I listen to you.
Yeah, I want to know what the is wrong with my car.
I'll be glad to answer any questions for you. I can.
You're different because you glow in the dark, so it's all good.
Rob, can I ask you a question?
Sure, ask anything you want.
Motormouth!
Have you heard from Ray or Chris saying that this was going to be the best show?
No.
Ever in the history
of mankind.
No, you
see, it's funny because Ray will come in and say, well, Rob, this is going to be the greatest show we've ever done.
It's not Sunday morning until I'm sure.
And sometimes Chris.
Motormouth Radio is going to be the best show that was ever done.
And then Chris will sometimes joke that it's going to be the worst show they've ever done.
There are answers, sometimes correct ones, and we may have them.
Motormouth Radio, 90.3 FM, WHPC.
Motormouth!
Hey, you, get over here. Every Sunday, 12 to 1, you are going to tune in to hear the Motormouths, my friends Ray Guarino and Chris Switzer. 90.3 FM, WHPC. You might learn something.
Banging nails in your big black dog!
Whoa. Straight out of the 80s. Ian Dury and the Blockheads. A little bit of Blockheads. Ian Dury and the Blockheads. Ian Dury and the... Yes, it is Ian Dury and the...
Ian Dury and the Blockheads.
Yeah, playing Blockheads. Throw me when they use their own name in the damn song. I hate when they do that. So, fellas, we're back. Let me get my chair.
Have a seat, Ray.
I will, and we have a phone call. So let's do this and this and say hi. You're on with the Motormouths.
Hey, good morning. Good afternoon. How are you? I'm Lirino from Seaford.
I'm sorry, who are we talking to?
Tom Miliano from Seaford.
Hey, Tom, good to talk to you. What's happening?
I got a comparable story, not automotive, but marine related. We had a travel lift, and what was used to take boats out of the water, and it slid on I-beams to expand it or contract it, depending on the size of the boat.
Uh-huh.
So it had them painted fluorescent orange with tire tubes and whatnot around them, and at least once every other week, somebody, or one of us, would walk into the I-beams because you just didn't see it just above your eyesight.
Oh, no.
Lay out on the ground, on your back, wondering, you know, where you're bleeding from and if you are. It was just a regular thing, and it just would happen just so often. You'd laugh afterwards, but at the time, it just was not
orange,
fun.
Right? You painted them orange. Like, you can't miss them. These huge I-beams, steel beams,
oh, yeah.
Painted orange, and you still hit your head on them.
Right.
You would still. There was a cut tire on the end of them. They were painted orange. You'd still walk into them.
Well, that's the thing. You know, you have your spatial awareness where you kind of know where this stuff is. But like what happened to me, I was now in someone else's space. And even though I had an awareness, it wasn't as sharply honed as when I was in my own space. So, yeah, hey, it happens. What are you going to do?
It's something we worked with every single day, and it would still happen every other week to one of us.
Right, right. That's funny. You got to laugh about that when it happens. What are you going to do, right?
Yeah, there was only so much brain damage done, but you can still laugh about it.
Exactly. Exactly. All right, Tom. Well, thanks for that story. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Take care.
All right. Talk to you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Tom.
All righty.
Louis, so I'm sure you were aware of how tall you were making the roof of the bus. Is it going to... You didn't make it like as high as a semi or anything like that. You could be able to get under standard underpasses with this thing.
Yeah.
The regulation height is 13.5.
Right.
And I think we're at 11.
Oh.
11.6, okay. I think.
11.6.
Yeah.
Oh, you got enough room for like HVAC.
A roof rack and suitcases.
Yeah. Yeah,
right.
We're going with a roof deck and solar panels.
Okay.
We'll still got a little bit of room.
You got that. Well, there goes that 2 feet then.
Sure. So, Tyler, how far down the road? I know you've been talking about your own project where you're going to start with more of an RV or a motorhome type vehicle. Has this kind of kick-started you and made you hungry to get into your own deal or what?
Yeah, because literally everything that we've done to Lewis's bus, I won't have to do to mine.
Right. Yeah, good point.
So I'm proceeding. I'm working on getting my house ready to list on the market, and as soon as the house sells, I'm gonna go and buy a 45-foot motor coach. So that would be more like your more modern Greyhound buses. You know, the full height. They're bigger than a Class A motorhome because they're actually rated for almost 45,000 pounds of weight. They got the big class motors, you know, so like 12, 13, 14 liter, diesels in them.
Right.
And, what I like about them is number one, they already have their ceiling height inside is 6.5 feet. So me being 5'11", I'm not going to have to raise the roof.
Mm-hmm.
They're all, glass down the sides. So I'm going to leave all the insulated glass windows in so that it'll make the interior feel larger.
Mm-hmm.
And then those aren't built on a typical truck chassis. They're all pushers, first of all. And second of all, the interior of the frame between the steer axle and the drive axle is all like skeletonized bridge truss style construction.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no traditional big frame rails running through. So there's tons of under the bus storage bays, tons of room for plumbing and whatever else. So...
Explain what you mean so people will understand when you talk about not a traditional truck chassis and that it's not a pusher. Explain that terminology so people will understand.
So a traditional truck chassis is kind of like a school bus or like you see a semi-truck where you've got the motor in the front mounted between two big pieces of 1 inch or 3/4 inch steel that's bent into a C-channel. And those beams are big, and they run from the front of the bus or truck to the back. and they support everything. Everything is built off of those frame rails, kind of like a pickup truck or older car that has a body sitting on top of the frame. So these frame rails, they're straight, and they cannot be modified safely. They're usually on most makes and models of heavy-duty vehicle, they're heat-treated. So you can't weld to them. You're not supposed to cut them. Everything has to be through-drilled and bolted on. So that's why it can be so expensive to modify the frame of these vehicles. When I worked in a heavy-duty truck garage, the rule of thumb was if you don't see any welds on the frame, you don't make any welds.
Yeah, you were talking about that on one of the videos, and that's how what I learned it, because I think you were moving that stairwell, and there was a thought about either welding or what, and then you had given that same exact explanation of how, Chris, if you don't see welds, then you don't weld, you bolt it. And I never knew that. I said, hey, truck chassis, yeah, weld the hell out of it.
But yeah, no. I was thinking the same thing.
Right.
Yeah, you look at it, and you see this big beefy chunk of steel that you can weld to, and oh, yeah, it's not going to hurt anything. Well, the problem is they're heat-treated. So by welding, you are affecting the strength of the entire chassis, and you could, in theory, develop stress cracks and break your frame.
So I guess all the truck guys who are listening, you want to get a hold of Macroman Brian. He's in Vegas right now at the Tool Expo, and have him order some of those new Matco, what do they call them, the step drill bits? They have a name from those. I don't have a set yet, but they're on my list.
Right.
It's a pretty cool set of bits, Chris. It's really pointy on the end that kind of almost drills a pilot hole first and just sucks that drill. They show you drilling a brake rotor. The demo was to drill a brake rotor. Try that with your regular Harbor Freight bits.
Oh, forget it. Uh-uh. No, that will not happen. So what kind of frame is the camper, is the motorhome? What kind of frame is it? It's like a Super Allegra? It's like built like a...
So on the...
Roll cage?
Yeah, so the motor coach, instead of being a pair of frame rails that your chassis is bolted or that your suspension is bolted to and then the body sits on top of, the motor coach is actually built kind of like the understructure of a truss bridge. So it's made out of much smaller pieces of steel that are all triangulated and cross-braced and welded. Most of the buses made after the mid-90s are all stainless steel frame.
Oh, wow.
So they are and the whole roof structure and everything is all part of the frame of the bus. And then because it's a pusher, which means that the engine and transmission are at the back of the bus.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no drive shaft running through the middle of the bus. There's no exhaust running under the full length of the bus. And it converts a lot of the space that gets used up on a traditional like school bus for those things to storage and open space under the bus. So you see those big, like if you go by the bus station, you see like the Greyhound or whatever, and they got those big doors opened up underneath. Each one of those compartments, depending on the model and the size of the bus, there's either three or four of them, and they go the full width of the bus, and they are at least 4 feet wide, each compartment. So each one is essentially the size of an 8-foot truck bed with a cap on it, and they're sealed from the weather. They're weather tight. So,
boy, think all the migrants you can stuck in there, right? You can bring them across the border. But that's the thing. Yeah. It sounds like the guys who designed the newer bus designs, like Tyler's talking about, sounds like someone worked at Volkswagen years back, you know, and said, hey, we put the engine in the back, get rid of the drive shaft, you know, right? Because that's what it is. Volkswagen's always had that engine in the back, no drive shaft, no exhaust, and made for a flat bottom car. So
no hump.
Right. No hump, like a Toronado. Yeah, well, that was front wheel drive. But I remember the first time I got one of them and said, huh?
What?
Yep. Yeah.
Getting into an Eldorado in the 70s and going, where's the hump?
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah, well, I had an 81 Eldo that I had bought, and I said, oh, well, I got nowhere to put my garbage bag thing. Like, you drape it over a hump? There is, like, oh, damn, what do I do now? Lay it out flat, kept falling over.
Wow. So, Ty, this motorhome is going to take the place of the house, or?
Yep. Wow. So I'll live in the bus full time, and then the idea is that probably 9 to 10 months of the year, it'll be parked here at my shop because I still have roots here in town. You know, I'm not going to just totally take off and fly the coop. But I went through a list of pros and cons about keeping my house and the rooms I use in the house and how much of the house I actually utilize, and I realized everything I do at my house I can do in a bus. And then at that point, if I want to take 3 weeks off and go to Pikes Peak for the Pikes Peak Challenge, I'll have my house with me.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. You sure will, and everyone will know that you're not at the show.
Yeah, right, right,
exactly. Oh, his house is gone. He must not be here.
It's like now, Chassie John and I have been talking about this thing called Sick Week that's happening in Florida. This weekend they've been testing and tuning at Bradenton, and tomorrow it kicks off. Wow, you want to see some sick cars? I mean, these guys in the sevens and sixes, like crazy. Yeah,
so a buddy of mine got a. You'll see it, I'm sure. It's a blue Geo Tracker with a big block sticking out of the hood with a big blower on it.
Wow.
And it's all tube chassised out and everything. It's called the project name is Sam Squatch.
Okay.
And his name's Vinny. And I think his wife is actually going to be doing most of the passes in it.
Wow.
But he's right around the corner from me. He's actually helping me out somewhat on my Sunbird project, because nice. he's also got a Monza. And his dad is big into Monzas. They've got several race cars between them. So super into the last year body style, the H bodies.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah. So, I mean, you could now, Lewis, you're going to use your bus for traveling with your wife. You're going to just go around and do vacationing and all sorts of, do you have any other plans? Has in your mind, has it changed a little bit?
Yeah, you're not planning on living in it.
Oh, no, we are. We're going.
Oh, you do?
Yes, we're going to rent my house out to my daughter, and we are leaving and not coming back until we're sick of being gone.
Wow. Okay.
So, yeah, we're building it to live in it.
Wow.
Holy smoke. Wow. That is just – you guys are adventurers, boy.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you work hard all your life. I'm going to retire 10 years early while I can still move around. And me and her are going to travel and do what we want to do. You know what I mean? If everything's paid off, you don't need as much money.
Well, that's true. Right. That's true.
You're absolutely right.
That's pretty much my thoughts, too. You know, I'm in my mid-30s now, and I don't have a whole lot of confidence about the way the world is going. So I'd like to get out and enjoy some things before people's lifestyles get all turned upside down and stuff. So, and again, I went through, like, the pros and cons of having a house versus not having a house, and I don't have kids. I don't have a family. So that extra complication isn't there. And it would be nothing for me to live full time in a bus, I don't think.
Oh, sure.
And sure. With Lewis retiring in 3 years, we'll probably be hitting up a lot of the same events, because he's a car guy through and through. So he'll want to do a bunch of car guy stuff.
Yeah, true.
Right. So
there's a lot of people doing this. It's a big community, the schooling community.
Yeah.
And there's people that are corporate people that are quitting their jobs, building these buses.
Or working remote from the bus.
Yeah, or working
remote. Sure.
So
you can.
It's not just, it used to be the
hippies.
The hippies, but now it's everybody.
Right.
You know, because people want to spend more time with their families. And, sure. You know, you work yourself to death, and then you get old, and you retire, and you're sick, or you know, you just, your body's starting to shut down, so... You know, a lot of people are doing this lifestyle.
So, you know,
smart.
For many years, I've always seen guys, you know, they'll take the motorhome, and they'll be, you know, doing their summer vacation, but they're towing the Geo Tracker behind, or they have a motorcycle on the back so they can get around, like in the campground and in the towns. Are you going to provide for anything like that with your project?
Yes. I'm debating on putting a trailer so I can carry my motorcycle and all my leather tools.
Right.
So I can do my leather projects out on the road, or maybe put a deck on the back of the bus that will hold my motorcycle.
With okay.
A lift, you know. So
good idea.
Yeah. Either way, I'll have Peaches with me.
Right. Nice. Right. Now, Peaches is Peaches is a big girl. You could always get a little sister. You know, that's a little easier to tote around. You know, that's always a possibility too.
Yeah. Yeah. Get Buckeye.
Yeah. Right. Right.
Will you have room in the bus, Lewis, to do your leather work as well, or are you going to have to outsource that to some other place with a roof, some other dry area? What's the plan with that?
I can actually, I can probably do it in the bus, but like I said, I'll pull a trailer with me.
You set up a workbench in the trailer.
I can set up a workbench, you know, where I can fold it down, you know, take the bike out.
Because they're going to be forever chasing that 70-degree weather.
Yeah, so I can work outside as well.
Sure.
You know. Oh, wow. That's even better.
Well, that's kind of easy to do, I guess. You just, you know, you stay west and then you just stay south. So it's, it's just don't go anywhere in the middle or north or east.
That's the sun all day. That's all I'm doing.
Exactly.
We're only going to see him back in Ohio in the middle of summer.
Yeah.
Maybe.
So now when you... Well, when you're doing that and driving around, will you be like going to motorhome places to stop so you can hook up, and or are you just going to be stopping on a street somewhere and spending a night? Because you'll be self-sufficient.
Well, Walmart is pretty good, you know, parking Walmart.
Okay.
No, they have a lot of RV parks I can go to. The government lands, what are they called? The
state parks.
State parks.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of places, and the schooling community is becoming so big, you know where to go now, because everybody's posting where to go and where to stop, where to fill up, you know, where to be safe.
Right.
So it's really a good community.
Nice.
Yes. And that's one of the trade-offs that I'll probably be giving up is the bus I'm looking at converting will be too large to go in and stay overnight at state parks and stuff like that. But the whole, like, RV and wildlife camping type thing is not my major attraction. My major attraction is just the pure mobility aspect and being able to go and like camp out at a racetrack for a weekend and all that kind of stuff. So why spend $100,000 plus on a large RV when I could spend half that, convert a bus, and live in it full time with basically no overhead?
Well, yeah, no, that's a great choice economically. Sure. Real interesting.
It is incredibly interesting, and just the freedom alone and the fact that you guys are going to be the world's youngest snowbirds.
Yeah, right.
That's the truth.
Yeah, we'll go visit Chassis John and his 6 to 8 inches of sunshine every day.
Yeah, exactly, or more. Yeah, definitely. That's,
yeah, because this week for sure I'm inclined to agree with you, because I can't tell you just yesterday alone how many times the door handle on my truck stuck to the door. Like it would unfreeze, and literally I would have to find a spot wherever I took the truck, find a spot where the sun would hit it directly. And of course, so I could actually get in and out of the car, open the door without it freezing shut.
Before I went to work yesterday, I made sure that my wife's door would open. She's got the cruise, and that's got kind of flimsy. I mean, in the summer, you don't notice it, but they're kind of flimsy door handles on that car. And I made sure I could, you know, jostle that and open the door. And the FJ, too, you know, they were frozen. And I told her, I said, you know, this, I remember back when I had the 71 Riviera, and they had those handles that kind of pulled out, and one of those snapped off on me. I was like, yeah, now you're pulling the whole door apart just to change a freaking handle. And I said, yeah, door handles are no joke.
I can't tell you how many times I've walked out of the house with the hair dryer running. Get right, point you right at the door.
Right. Right.
Yeah, because there was a time I had a St. Regis, an old Dodge St. Regis, and one door was stuck shut. And I went and, of course, got into the passenger side, and that opened no problem. But then I went to go close it, and it wouldn't close.
Yeah.
It got stuck open. Like, it just, the latch wouldn't adhere to the
car. That happen,
it would go,
yeah,
like, thump, and then it would slowly open again. So I had a door that was frozen shut, and I had a door that was frozen open.
A little bungee cord, the open one to the closed one.
Right. Went out with the hairdryer again. Pointed it at the passenger door. And all of a sudden you hear ping.
Yeah.
Okay, slam, worked.
Right.
And I'm like, I'm tired of this.
Then you were locked in. You couldn't get out.
I'm like, I'm going to go get a school bus.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, those are the trials and tribulations living where we have, you know, snow, rain, sleet, all that crazy, cold, all that crazy stuff.
Oh, yeah. It's painful. It's every year it gets a little bit more painful every year.
True.
So I'm loving what you guys are doing. The freedom, the mobility, it totally makes sense. The only thing is, like, now what do you do with your hot rod projects? What do you do with the cars that you're working on? You guys are going to devote all that time to a motorhome. Then what happens to all those projects?
Well, I'm going to keep my garage at the house. And my daughter's going to rent the house off me. So I'll have my garage and I'll have all my stuff in there. No,
okay.
I won't have my stuff in there.
Well, the thing is, I guess where Chris is going is you won't be able to work on this stuff when you're on the road because it's somewhere else. But and Tyler, of course, I have his shop, so his stuff is all, you know, inside and safe. So yeah, you.
My plan is actually to have a like a 30 or so. There's an overall length limit on vehicles for the road. Mm-hmm. If I can figure out a way to license my motorhome in Wyoming, their overall combined vehicle length for vehicles in their state is 85 feet.
Wow.
So that would let me get a 40-foot two-car enclosed bumper pull trailer and put behind the bus. But most other states are somewhere around 65 or 70 feet.
It just kind of makes going through the McDonald's drive-thru a little tough.
Right. Yeah. So the goal is to have a 30-foot enclosed or larger if I can get away with it. And I'll have one car with me, you know, all of my cars are streetable no matter how much power they make. I'm able to drive them on the street. That's always rule number one.
Right.
Whether or not it's a Pro Mod caged, you know, 1800 horsepower twin turbo big tire car or not, I'll still be able to take it through the McDonald's drive through.
Yeah, yeah.
So the goal is
loudly.
The goal is to have one car.
I have a burger? Sorry.
Yeah. The goal is to have one car with me and then enough tools to where I can work on stuff on the road. So I'll take my tubing bender, my welders. The plan is to have a 10,000 kilowatt generator either attached to the bus or in the trailer that I can run welders and saws and whatever else off of. And then the idea is to have kind of like a mobile repair and hot rod shop with me. So if I'm at, you know, if I'm at South Georgia Motorsports Park for the Autocross Nationals every spring, right? I can go down there, I can camp out, I can have a car to have fun with. And then if someone breaks a trailing arm or something and needs it welded, I'll have all my setup there.
Yeah, you're doing a little different thing than Lewis is, which is good because now we're seeing both sides or two sides of the story where there's probably many of them.
Yeah, but not only can you do your own repairs on the road, but you can do other people's repairs. Make some quick cash on the side. Nice.
Right, exactly.
I want to take my shop on the road, and he wants to not work on anything on the road.
Well, yeah. Again, it's two different variations on a theme, but it goes to show that there's a lot of possibility, a lot of leeway for what you can do with vehicles like that, you know, which is really pretty cool.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, I've learned a ton of stuff today. Today was monumental. Just learning how to live life the correct way, if you ask me. It's nice.
And if you
and Chris, I wanted to say that specifically because of you, I've been using less fuzzy guitar in my music for my YouTube videos.
Nice. And I'll tell you what you guys should do. You stay tuned because we're going to have like 18 hours of Nassau basketball going on right now. We got the guys in the studio now. They're going to provide the color commentary and the play-by-play. And I hear they're pretty good, so you may want to check it out and listen. So, Lewis, Tyler, thank you very much for coming up with a recap. We'll do this again on Thursday night unless there's another live going on. And Chris, what do you always say that Chassis John always says that you used to say that now we all say?
Don't follow us home unless you're in a motorhome.
Right. Cool. All right, guys. Thank you very much. For Chris Switzer, Lewis Lee, Tyler Long, Ray Guarino, Motormouth Radio's out. We'll see you next week. Fellas, thank you. 90.3 WHPC. We're gone.
This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Limerick and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose which shop will fix your car. CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. All repairs include the CarStar Lifetime Nationwide Warranty, ensuring that the experts at Celebrity Chase Collision are always on your side.
Y si hablamos español.
More information is available by calling 516-593-0920 or visiting online at celebritychasecollision.com.